A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's in the middle of a smart workshop build, and he needs a laser measure with a very specific set of requirements. Class 2 red laser, plus or minus 1.5 millimeter accuracy, 30 meter range, and Bluetooth 5.0, so it logs measurements straight to his phone. He knows exactly what he wants. He spent 45 minutes on Amazon, Home Depot, and Bosch's own website. And here's what he found. None of them let him filter by Bluetooth. Bosch makes the GLM50C. That one has Bluetooth. And the GLM50, which doesn't. He only figured this out by reading individual product pages.
45 minutes for a yes or no question.
That's the thing. The data exists. It's right there in the spec sheets, but no retailer exposes it as a filter you can click. Daniel's bigger point is that this is supposed to be what the internet is good at. Infinite shelf space, searchable databases, find the one niche product that fits your exact needs. And yet most e-commerce sites give you worse filtering than a well-organized hardware store aisle. The reason, he thinks, is a boring data maintenance problem that AI might finally be able to solve. So let's start with what parametric search actually is, and why it matters to people like Daniel, and probably to a lot of you listening.
Parametric search is filtering by specific product attributes rather than by category or keyword. It's the difference between show me laser measures and show me laser measures with a class 2 red laser, Bluetooth, plus or minus 1.5 millimeter accuracy, and range of at least 30 meters. You're filtering on the parameters of the thing itself, voltage, wavelength, connectivity, accuracy tolerance. For a technical buyer, this isn't a nice to have. It's the entire workflow. You have a spec, you need the product that matches it, and there might be three of them buried in the catalog of thousands.
And when it works, it collapses hours of spec sheet reading into seconds. That's the promise. The paradox is that the internet should be better at this than physical retail ever was. A store has shelf space constraints. They stop the most popular SKUs, and if you need something weird, you're out of luck. Online, the shelf is infinite. The database is searchable. In theory, the long tail of niche products should be more accessible than ever.
In practice, a Home Depot aisle sometimes gives you more useful filtering than the website does. You can look at a row of laser measures on a shelf and see which ones have a Bluetooth logo on the box. You can't do that in a grid of Amazon thumbnails where the Bluetooth information might be in bullet point 7 or buried in a paragraph of marketing copy or missing entirely.
Or wrong. Amazon listings are notorious for having Bluetooth in the title and nothing about it in the description, or vice versa.
Right? So why don't retailers offer granular filters? It's not because they haven't thought of it. It's because every single filterable attribute, Bluetooth, laser color, measurement units, accuracy class, has to exist as a database field. Someone has to model it, populate it for every SKU, and keep it updated across product revisions. For a site like Grainger with over 1.5 million SKUs, that's an enormous data entry cost.
And it's not a one-time cost. Products get revised. The GLM50C gets a firmware update. The spec sheet changes. Someone has to catch that and update the database. If you have a team of data engineers doing this, you're spending real money per attribute, per SKU, per year.
Which brings us to the Pareto problem. Retailers prioritize filters that benefit the most users. Bluetooth on a laser measure might matter to 1 in 50 buyers. Laser color red versus green might matter to 1 in 5. The logical choice for a clean UI is to expose the high-impact filter and skip the niche one. Most people don't need Bluetooth filtering, so it doesn't make the cut.
But this logic breaks down completely for technical buyers, because the niche filter is the whole point. The person who needs Bluetooth on a laser measure doesn't need it casually. They're building a workflow around it. They're logging measurements to a phone app, or integrating with a construction management tool, or doing something where Bluetooth isn't a preference. It's a hard requirement.
And if you can't filter by it, you're doing what Daniel did. 45 minutes of opening product pages and scanning spec sheets. Multiply that by every technical buyer across every product category, and it's a staggering amount of wasted time.
So that's the problem. Now let's look at who actually solves it, and how.
DigiKey and Mouser are the gold standard here, and the interesting thing is, they didn't build this as a UX innovation. They inherited it. Electronic components have standardized datasheets with structured parameters because the industry requires it for engineering. You can't design a circuit board without knowing the tolerance on a resistor or the voltage rating on a capacitor. The parametric data exists before the component ever reaches a distributor because the manufacturer has to publish it for engineers to use the part.
So DigiKey's parametric search is a byproduct of how components are specified, not a deliberate retail technology achievement.
Their catalog has over 1,500 parametric fields across the product database. You can filter resistors by resistance, tolerance, power rating, temperature coefficient, package type, and about 20 other things. And you can do that because every resistor manufacturer publishes those values in a structured format that DigiKey can ingest.
But here's the part people miss. Even DigiKey struggles with this. They employ a team of data engineers to normalize and maintain that parametric data. Manufacturers update specs, discontinue parts, introduce revisions. The data doesn't just flow in and stay accurate forever. It degrades. Someone has to catch when a manufacturer changes the operating temperature range on a capacitor from minus 40 to 85 Celsius to minus 40 to 105 Celsius. If that doesn't get updated, an engineer specs the wrong part and something fails in the field.
And DigiKey's margins can support this because electronic component distribution is a different business than consumer retail. The margins are higher, the order values are higher, and the cost of a wrong part is catastrophic in a way that buying the wrong laser measure isn't. If you spec the wrong capacitor and it fails at a medical device or an aerospace application, people can die. That's not hyperbole, that's the actual liability environment that justifies a data engineering team.
So the parametric search that technical buyers love isn't free. It's baked into the economics of a high-stakes industry, which is why Amazon can't do this.
Amazon's catalog is built from unstructured merchant feeds. A seller listing a laser measure might put Bluetooth, yes, in a bullet point, or they might bury it in the description, or they might call it wireless connectivity and leave you to guess what that means. Amazon's product taxonomy is optimized for broad categorization. Tools, then measuring, then laser levels, not parametric depth. They can tell you it's a laser measure. They can't tell you whether it has Bluetooth.
And the merchant feed problem is structural. Amazon has millions of sellers, each providing product data in their own format. There's no standard spec sheet for laser measure that every manufacturer agrees to use. Even if Amazon wanted to add a Bluetooth filter, they'd have to extract that information from millions of inconsistent product descriptions, and they'd get it wrong often enough that the filter would be unreliable.
Bosch's own website is a fascinating case here. They make the GLM50C and the GLM50. One has Bluetooth, one doesn't. Their filter options include laser class and measurement range, but not connectivity. The data is in the spec sheet. They published it. They just didn't expose it as a filter. Bosch knows more about these products than anyone, and even they didn't do it.
Because someone at Bosch made the same Pareto calculation. How many buyers filter by Bluetooth versus how many just scroll the product list? And the answer was, not enough to justify the database work.
Grainger is an interesting middle case. Their parametric search is actually quite good for industrial categories. Motors, pumps, electrical connectors. You can filter electrical connectors by 30 different parameters. But for tools, it falls apart. They have zero filters for Bluetooth on laser measures. The reason is that their data model was built around industrial MRO, maintenance, repair, and operations, not consumer tools. The categories where they invested in parametric depth are the ones where their core customers demanded it.
And a maintenance engineer buying a replacement pump motor needs parametric search in a way that someone buying a laser measure from Grainger typically doesn't. The engineer is matching a spec to a replacement part. The laser measure buyer is... browsing.
So the specialists make it work because they inherited structured data and their economic support maintaining it. But what about the rest of us? What about the Daniel problem? The technical buyer who knows exactly what they want but can't filter for it on any consumer site.
This is where Daniel's AI proposition gets interesting. The idea is, feed product spec sheets, PDFs, HTML tables, manufacturer data sheets, through a large language model with structured output. Extract attributes like Bluetooth support, laser color, accuracy, range. Populate e-commerce filter fields automatically. This is exactly the kind of task these models are good at.
It really is. Extracting structured data from semi-structured text is one of the strongest use cases for current models. You give it a schema, field name, data type, allowed values, and a PDF of a spec sheet, and it returns JSON with the fields populated. The accuracy on this kind of task in controlled tests is on the order of low to mid 90s%, depending on the complexity of the schema and the quality of the source document.
And the pipeline isn't science fiction. You crawl manufacturer spec sheets, pass each one through a model with your schema, output structured data, and ingest it into the product database. Human review becomes the sampling-based QA step rather than a per-SKU check. You spot-check the extractions, investigate the ones where the model's confidence is low, and accept the rest.
ThomasNet has been doing exactly this since 2020. They use AI to extract attributes from industrial supplier catalogs, powering parametric search for over 500,000 supplier profiles. They process something like 50,000 spec sheets a month, extracting over 200 attributes per product category. They report around 92% accuracy on attribute extraction from PDF spec sheets with human review for the edge cases.
92% is good enough to be useful and bad enough to be dangerous, depending on what you're buying.
Right. For a laser measure, a false positive on Bluetooth means someone buys the wrong product and returns it. Annoying, costs the retailer money, but nobody's hurt. For an electrical component, a false positive on voltage rating means don't plug that in.
The B2C frontier is mostly untouched. No major consumer retailer has deployed this at scale. The closest is Home Depot, which has been using machine learning to normalize product specs across their catalog since 2023. But it's limited to high-volume categories like appliances and power tools. Laser measures haven't made the cut yet.
And Home Depot reported a 4% reduction in product returns in the categories where they improved spec accuracy. That's a real revenue impact. 4% fewer returns on appliances pays for a lot of machine learning infrastructure. It suggests that better parametric data isn't just a nice-to-have for technical buyers. It has measurable business value.
The pragmatic challenges are real, though. Spec sheets vary wildly in format. Some are structured tables, some are prose paragraphs with the specs buried in sentences. Units and terminology differ. One manufacturer says Bluetooth 5.0, another says BLE, another says wireless connectivity, and leaves you to infer that they mean Bluetooth and not Wi-Fi or something proprietary.
And the terminology problem is deeper than it looks. Operating temperature range versus ambient temperature range, are those the same field? In some contexts, yes, in others, no. Because one includes self-heating of the component and the other doesn't. An LLM will guess, and it'll be confidently wrong in ways that matter.
Accuracy is the trust problem. A false positive, marking a non-Bluetooth model as Bluetooth, destroys user trust in the filter. If I filter by Bluetooth and get a product that doesn't have it, I stop using filters. The entire feature becomes worthless. So the extraction pipeline has to be conservative. It's better to miss a Bluetooth product and leave it unfiltered than to tag one that doesn't have it.
And then there's the long tail. For the top-selling products, the pipeline cost per SKU is negligible and the accuracy is high because the spec sheets are well-formatted and the models have seen similar documents. For the 10,000th product in the catalog, some niche laser measure from a manufacturer whose spec sheet is a scanned PDF from 2018, the extraction is harder, the accuracy is lower, and the business case for doing it at all is weaker.
But here's the deeper implication that I think Daniel is getting at. AI doesn't just reduce the maintenance burden. It changes the economics of parametric search entirely. If extraction costs drop to near zero per SKU, the Pareto logic flips. You don't have to choose which filters to expose based on how many users will click them. You expose every filter because the cost of adding one more Boolean field is negligible.
That's the real shift. Right now, a product manager at Grainger looks at Bluetooth on laser measures and says, 1 in 50 buyers cares about this, not worth the data entry cost. If the data entry cost is zero, the calculation becomes, why not expose it? It costs us nothing, and it makes the 1 in 50 buyer's experience dramatically better.
That 1 in 50 buyer might be the one who buys the higher margin professional model instead of the entry level one, because they can actually find the product that matches their spec. Daniel's whole purchasing philosophy, buy the entry level of a professional range from a quality manufacturer, depends on being able to find that exact product. Without parametric search, he's guessing.
The technical mechanism is straightforward enough. You define a schema per product category. For laser measures, maybe 20 or 30 fields covering laser class, wavelength, accuracy, range, Bluetooth, battery type, IP rating, memory storage. You run every spec sheet through the extraction model. You get back structured data. You populate the database. You expose the filters. The model doesn't need to understand what a laser measure is. It just needs to find the sentence that says Bluetooth 5.0 and map it to the Bluetooth field.
But that last part, the model doesn't need to understand what a laser measure is. That's where things get interesting, because sometimes it does need to understand. And that's the normalization problem.
Normalization is deciding what counts as the same thing across different manufacturers. If Bosch says Bluetooth 5.0, and Leica says BLE 422, and DeWalt says wireless app connectivity via Bluetooth, the extraction model can find all three and map them to the Bluetooth field. But what if a fourth manufacturer says wireless data transfer, and they mean Wi-Fi? The model has to disambiguate, and that requires understanding what's plausible for a laser measure, not just pattern matching the word wireless.
That's where the 92% accuracy number from ThomasNet gets complicated. 92% across 200 attributes per category means roughly 16 attributes per product are wrong. Most of those are probably harmless. The wrong unit on a dimension, a missing value that's actually present in the spec sheet. But some of them are the Bluetooth is Wi-Fi kind of error, and those are the ones that erode trust.
This is the part the AI optimism sometimes glosses over. Extraction is the easy part. Normalization, deciding that BLE and Bluetooth 5.0 and Bluetooth Smart all mean the same thing for the purpose of a yes or no filter, is the hard part. It's a knowledge problem, not a parsing problem.
It's also a coordination problem. The real breakthrough might not be AI extraction at all. It might be manufacturers adopting structured data standards, something like schema.org markup for product specs that make extraction unnecessary. If every laser measure spec sheet came with a machine-readable block of structured attributes, retailers could ingest it directly with no AI required.
But that requires coordination across an entire industry, and industries don't coordinate. Bosch has no incentive to standardize their spec sheets to make Grainger's life easier. Grainger is a customer, but they're one of many. The cost of adopting a standard falls on the manufacturer, and the benefit accrues to the retailer. Classic externality problem.
There's a world where regulation pushes this forward. The EU's Digital Product Passport Initiative is sort of adjacent, requiring structured sustainability data for products sold in Europe. But that's about environmental impact, not Bluetooth support. It's not going to solve Daniel's problem.
We're left with AI extraction as the most plausible path, and the question is whether retailers will actually build it. The technology exists. The business case: reduced returns, better conversion for technical buyers, differentiation from Amazon's mess of unstructured listings is real. But someone has to invest in the pipeline, define the schemas, build the UI to expose the filters, and maintain the whole thing.
They have the data model, the engineering team, and the customer base that expects it. Extending AI extraction to fill gaps in their existing parametric data is a natural evolution. But for consumer retailers starting from zero, no parametric data model, no extraction pipeline, no filter UI, the upfront investment is substantial.
That's the pessimistic view. The optimistic view is that the AI makes the upfront investment small enough that it's worth doing. If you can stand up an extraction pipeline in weeks rather than years, and populate hundreds of attributes across your catalog with minimal human effort, the ROI math changes. The 4% return reduction that Home Depot saw is just the measurable part. The unmeasurable part is the technical buyers who find what they need and don't go to a specialist retailer instead.
That's the optimistic view. But before we wrap up, Hilbert has been making a face over there for the last 10 minutes.
Part minor, 2004 to 2006. We had 12 people in a basement in San Jose manually normalizing data sheets from over 200 manufacturers. I was one of them for 3 months. Quit because my soul was being extracted one capacitor spec at a time.
Part minor. I remember them. They were trying to build a universal parametric search for electronic components before the infrastructure existed to do it.
What we actually built was a shared spreadsheet and a lot of arguments. Everyone talks about AI like it's this magical solution, but the real problem isn't extracting the data. It's deciding what counts as the same thing. We spent weeks arguing whether operating temperature range and ambient temperature range were the same field. They're not, because one includes self-heating and the other doesn't. An LLM will guess, and it'll be wrong in ways that matter to the engineer who needs a part that works at 85 Celsius, not 75.
The model won't know it's wrong because it doesn't know what self-heating is.
It doesn't know what a capacitor is. We had a batch of resistors that got classified as Bluetooth compatible because the datasheet mentioned wireless in the context of the packaging being RFID tracked. The word wireless appeared in the document, someone checked the box, and for about 4 days, Part Miner listed Bluetooth compatible resistors.
That's a perfect cautionary tale.
The AI would have done exactly the same thing. It'd have seen the word wireless or Bluetooth in the document and flagged it. The difference is we caught it because we were humans who knew resistors don't have Bluetooth. An LLM doesn't know what a resistor is. It knows the word Bluetooth appears near the word resistor, and that's enough to trigger the extraction.
The normalization problem isn't just about terminology mapping. It's about domain knowledge. The extraction model can find the text, but it can't sanity check the result.
The sanity check is the expensive part. At PartMiner, we had engineers reviewing the extractions. Engineers cost money. The business model was, we'd sell the normalized database to distributors and recoup the cost. The database was never finished. The company folded in 2007. I still have a binder of capacitor datasheets somewhere.
What happened to the data?
No idea. Probably on a hard drive in a landfill. The point is, the AI makes extraction cheaper, but it doesn't make normalization free. Someone still has to decide what the fields mean and whether the extracted values make sense. And the more niche the product category, the more domain knowledge that requires. For resistors, you need an electrical engineer. For laser measures, you need someone who knows the difference between a Class 2 and Class 3R laser and why it matters for a construction site.
The AI shifts the bottleneck from data entry to validation.
It shifts the bottleneck from typing to thinking. Typing is cheap. Thinking about whether a laser measure that claims IP65 waterproofing and Bluetooth is physically possible, because the Bluetooth antenna needs a window that compromises the seal, that's the part you can't automate.
Is that a real thing? The Bluetooth antenna compromising the IP rating.
It's a real design trade-off. Whether any given model solved it, or just claimed both specs and hoped nobody tested them, that's the kind of thing a human reviewer catches and a model doesn't. But nobody's paying for human reviewers on a $30 laser measure listing, so the filters will be wrong and the technical buyers will learn not to trust them, and we're back to reading spec sheets.
That's a darker ending than I was expecting.
I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying the hard part isn't the part everyone's excited about. The hard part is the binder of capacitor datasheets.
The open question Daniel leaves us with is whether AI-driven parametric search actually gets built, or whether the maintenance burden just shifts from data entry to prompt engineering and validation. The extraction gets cheaper, but the thinking, the normalization, the sanity checks, the domain knowledge doesn't go away.
The deeper question is whether the real solution is technical at all. If manufacturers adopted structured data standards, published machine-readable spec sheets with agreed-upon field definitions, the extraction problem disappears entirely. No AI needed, but that requires coordination that the industry has never achieved and probably never will because the incentives don't align.
Daniel's laser measure quest is a microcosm of this whole thing. The internet promises infinite choice and perfect search, but the data infrastructure to deliver that doesn't exist for most product categories. AI might close the gap, but only if retailers decide the niche technical buyer is worth serving, and only if they're willing to invest in the validation layer that makes the filters trustworthy.
The 4% return reduction at Home Depot suggests there's real money in getting this right. The question is whether that's enough to justify the upfront investment for categories where the returns aren't as expensive as appliances.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumentop, who apparently still has a binder of capacitor datasheets and a very specific set of grievances about data normalization.
If you want to send us your own procurement horror stories or technical deep dive questions, email the show@myweirdprompts.com. We're also at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.